On Sunday, March 12th, the Sodality of the Immaculate Heart and the Junior-Senior Class Council will hold its third annual St. Patrick's Day Bake Sale. If you are able to contribute any baked goods to the sale, please email Sister Maria Cabrini or call the school office as soon as possible. All proceeds from the fundraiser, from the bake sale and the breakfast on that day will benefit the high school Sodality and the Junior-Senior Council. Flyers are available in the vestibule. If you are interested in enrolling your first grade child into St. Pius V school for the 2017-2018 school year, please call the school office no later than Tuesday, February 28th. Also coming up in Lent, the Lenten dinners will follow the 6 p.m. Masses on Friday, March 10th, March 17th, March 24th, and March 31st. If you are able to help out with volunteering food or your assistance with the Lenten dinners, please contact Jane Hovestat. Her phone number is printed in the bulletin. Next Tuesday, February 28th, is His Excellency Bishop Santé's 10th anniversary of consecration to the Episcopacy. Please keep him in your prayers that day, and please remember Bishop Kelly and all the priests and seminarians and brothers in your prayers. Any congratulatory cards for Bishop Santé can be sent to the seminary. And finally, I would just remind you that while all are always most welcome to attend our Masses here, all may not, however, receive Holy Communion. The rules and requirements for the reception of Holy Communion are printed on the back of the bulletin and are posted also in the vestibule. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 11 and 12. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas you yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Adam, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise, I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depth of the sea, in journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watching, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in coldness and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is scandalized, and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas the king guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one rapt even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words which it is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth, but I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything that heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelations should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me, for which thing thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Another some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Another some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. Another some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But that are on the good ground are they who in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. These words are taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, throughout the history of the world, there have been many great tragedies. But one of the most terrible tragedies in the history of the human race was the fall of Judas Iscariot. I say this because no other man in history, save Adam and even King Solomon, no other man in history ever fell from such great heights. For Judas was called to be an apostle, one of the closest friends of the Son of God, one of his closest collaborators in the work of sanctifying and saving souls. But how did this happen? This fall from friend of Christ to enemy. This turn from apostle to infidel. Well, soon after Judas was called by our divine Savior, he was appointed treasurer of the group of apostles. He kept the purse with all the money, and he also kept track, as it were, of the financial records. Now, at first, Judas was worthy of our Lord's trust. In the beginning, he was certainly zealous for the faith. And like the other apostles, he certainly loved our Lord as a child loves his father. Judas was surely sent with the other apostles two by two to preach the gospel and to even work miracles. Yet, in the course of time, his faith began to falter. His constant dealings with money and worldly preoccupations begotten him the spirit of the world, and this gradually led to his downfall. He began his downward slide by taking a few coins here and there out of the apostolic treasury for his personal use. But as so often happens, little faults turn into venial sins if they are not earnestly fought against. And venial sins eventually mount to the commission of mortal sins. And thus, over time, the few coins that Judas took became more and more. And thus, St. John the Apostle in his Gospel refers to Judas as a thief. But this downward plunge did not stop with petty thievery. For by the time our Lord delivered his discourse on the Holy Eucharist, which occurred about the close of his second year of public life, Judas had become an apostle in name only. His heart was cold, and he had lost his faith. Yet he still recognized our Lord's power and influence, and he hoped that Christ would use this power to establish a worldly kingdom. And thus Judas remained with Christ to use our Lord for his own personal advantage. That's how worldly he had become. Now, shortly before his passion, our Lord and some of the apostles, including Judas, attended a meal at the house of Simon the leper. As sacred scripture tells us, this is when Saint Mary Magdalene anointed our Lord with a very precious and very expensive ointment called spikenard. Seeing this, Judas became upset. He became angry at what he considered a waste of precious ointment. And so he rebuked Saint Mary Magdalene. "Why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 pence, he said, and given to the poor?" But this was all a facade. For St. John tells us that Judas did not say this because he cared for the poor. Judas said this because he was a thief consumed with the world, and he hoped to use this money for himself. Our Lord then publicly rebuked Judas for his uproar, and this public rebuke enraged the fallen apostle. In fact, it inflamed him to such a degree that it was then and there that Judas decided he would betray Christ. And so on Wednesday of Holy Week, he went to the chief priests and Pharisees and sold the Son of God for a petty sum of 30 pieces of silver, which at that time, by the way, was the price of a lowly slave. After completing his wicked deed, the fallen apostle returned to the company of Christ. And as our Lord does with the most hardened sinners, so he did with Judas. He sought over and over again Judas's repentance. On the very next day, our Lord invited Judas to the Last Supper, and he even washed his feet. But later that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas committed the basest act of treachery when he betrayed with a kiss the Sacred Heart who loved him as a son. But still, even after all that transpired, our Lord hoped that Judas would repent of his crime. And so he gently asked him, "Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" But without a word, Judas turned his back on his master, and he walked away as the soldiers seized Christ and bound him with chains. Judas would later realize the enormity of his crime, but because he lost his faith, instead of going to our Lord, whose sacred heart is filled with mercy for even the greatest sinner, Judas despaired of God's mercy. And so he went out and hanged himself with a halter, thus completing the fall from a child of grace to a child of reprobation. My dear friends, in today's gospel, our Lord tells us the parable of the sower and the seed. In fact, this is one of the few parables that our Lord himself explains in sacred scripture. The sower represents Christ, and the seed symbolizes the Word of God, that is, the truths of faith revealed by him. The various types of ground upon which the seed falls represent the hearts and minds of men. Now, among these different types of ground is the soil that is covered with thorns and thistles. And our Lord tells us that the thorns and thistles represent those who have heard and who, going their way, are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and thus yield no fruit. In other words, these souls are given the grace to do God's will, and they want to be good. But although they make good resolutions, they nevertheless give their hearts to material goods and earthly desires, which in turn tangle them up in the world. And this is symbolized by the thorns. And what happens is that souls such as these end up being choked to death by their inordinate desires for pleasure and the goods of this world. Eventually they give up prayer, then the practice of their faith, and then ultimately they lose their soul. And this is the most tragic case of all. It's most tragic because these souls once loved God. They were once on the road to heaven. But something happened. Something went terribly wrong. They were corrupted by the spirit of the world, and they veered from the path to eternal life. No one, my dear friends, no one loses his faith overnight. Because of one's preoccupation with the world, or his attachment to sin and pleasure, or because one is upset with God because he did not get the answer to his prayer for a worldly thing the way he wanted it. And thus the loss of faith usually begins with the claim, I have no time to pray. This leads to the giving up of prayer altogether. Soon he stops going to confession and no longer receives Holy Communion. The practice of his faith becomes an embarrassment for him in front of others. And this is especially true of young people. After giving up the reception of the sacraments, attendance at Mass becomes a burden. And eventually they start coming less and less. And before you know it, they are not coming at all. Then, like Judas, who rebukes St. Mary Magdalene with the excuse that the money could have been given to the poor, these people make excuses to justify themselves not going to Mass, excuses not to receive the sacraments, excuses to justify themselves in not practicing their faith. And ultimately, like Judas, they stoop to selling our divine Savior, as it were, for 30 pieces of silver. That is, they stoop to selling him for the sinful pleasures and concerns of this world by heaping mortal sin upon mortal sin. And in the end, they abandon their faith. Was this not, my dear friends, what happened to Judas Iscariot? He was called to be an apostle. He heard the word of God spoken by the Son of God himself. He had the gift of the true faith just as we have. And he could have become Saint Judas. But something went wrong. Terribly wrong. The seed of faith that our Lord sowed in his heart fell among thorns and was slowly choked to death because Judas valued the world more than our Lord and more than his God-given faith. He became corrupted by the cares and riches of the world. And he made money his God. And in the end, this preoccupation with the things of the world killed the life of faith in him, leading him to despair and ultimately to suicide. And now, in the opinion of St. Alphonsus de Liguori, Judas has been burning in hell for more than 2,000 years. In truth, it would have been better for him, as our Lord said at the Last Supper, if he had never been born. How serious the corruption of worldliness is. How serious it is. For it makes the things of this earth more important than the things of God. You see, worldly people are those who are more concerned with earthly affairs than they are with their Catholic faith. They are more worried about the things, the news, the gossip of this world than they are about keeping God's commandments. And even if they do keep the commandments, even if they do go to Mass, even if they say their daily prayers, they are so absorbed in the world that they pay little or no attention to God while they do these things. And thus, speaking of such people, our Lord complained, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And this is because worldly-minded people allow worldly things, the pleasures, the business of this earth, to consume their thoughts, their minds, and their hearts. And little by little, the spirit of the world pulls them away, until finally, like Judas, they do not recognize their God. They do not recognize, so to speak, his divine law. And thus they begin to heap sin upon sin, even as they neglect the practice of their faith and the reception of the sacraments. This is what worldliness leads to in the extreme. But we must take this very seriously, my dear friends. And we must ask ourselves, am I, to a certain degree, among the worldly-minded? Do I follow Christ on Sundays at Mass, but during the week sell him for the petty sum of 30 pieces of silver by following the sinful ways of the world? Am I so preoccupied with the goods of this life, with food, money, and work, with sports, politics, and entertainment, with smartphones and technology? Are my thoughts so immersed in these things that I think more about them than of God? Do I pay more attention to these things than I do to my duties as a Catholic? Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, God wants us to have joy in this life. He wants us to use the material goods that He has blessed us with. But He wants us to do this as befits Catholics. That is, without becoming engrossed with them. We can use them for our enjoyment, our recreation, but we cannot allow ourselves to become so absorbed in them that we begin to neglect our prayers and our duties as Catholics. And we can prevent this if we take certain means. Begin by being more faithful to your daily prayers, especially the Holy Rosary. Strive to say your prayers and attend Mass with more attention and devotion, trying your best calmly and without anxiety to keep worldly thoughts from distracting you. For if you are faithful in this, if you are faithful to your daily prayers and to attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass with devotion, and if you receive the sacraments frequently and devoutly, you will fortify yourself against the spirit of this world, and you can have the utmost confidence that you will not follow in the footsteps of Judas. We, my dear friends, who have been blessed with the one true faith, we must realize the vanity of this world and guard against it. Let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Heavenly Mother, to obtain for us this grace, so that our souls will be like the good ground in the gospel, that they will bring forth much fruit unto the attainment of eternal salvation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.